Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, Q's Nation? Welcome to Ty Thoughts with Tyler Marona. We are going to hear Ty's thoughts here in a moment. But first, we got to hear from the title sponsor for Ty Thoughts for the Q's Militia and Armchair Media. That is none other than BetOnline.ag. Now, you might not be able to get to a game this year. I think you should be able to. I think there's got to be a way to do it. There's a lot of seats there, and maybe you fill half of them. How about that? I think so. If you can't get to a game this year, you can still get in and all the action at BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spread totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today. Start off wagering on win, division, and championship futures right now. Head over to BetOnline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Is Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you, Bet Online. Also, one other we got to thank, and that is Manscaped.com. The Lawnmower 3.0. It's a premium electric trimmer that's designed to give you confidence boost through body image. You don't want to be a hairy Sasquatch, do you? Maybe you do. But just so you know, that's not in style anymore. The ceramic blade and skin-safe technology are designed to reduce nicks and tugs on the fellas down below. The Lawnmower 3.0 is also waterproof, and it comes with an LED light, so you can manscape in the shower in the dark or in the dark in the shower. They also just released the Shears 2.0 nail kit, which is a perfect add-on to the Lawnmower 3.0. The Shears 2.0 is a luxury four-piece nail kit featuring tempered stainless steel tools, and it includes as follows: tip tweezers, round point scissors, fingernail clippers, and a medium grit nail file for all of you guys that like to use nail files. The Shears 2.0 nail kit allows you to pluck your eyebrows too, gentlemen, just in case you are into that as well. And trim your nails in any style. Just go to manscaped.com today. Get the crop preserver. Reduce the chafing. Nobody wants the swamp butt, the swamp hiney. Reduce that with the crop preserver. Just go to manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code Armchair. Again, our listeners to this show, to Q's Militia, and anywhere along the Armchair Media spectrum, if you go to manscaped.com right now, you'll get 20% off and free shipping. Use the promo code Armchair. Thank you, manscaped.com. Now, here's Tyler and his thoughts.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, what is up? It is Monday, September 21st, and is it time to bust out the triple option? I know that's what everybody's thinking right now, and I just had to start off the show with something, you know, a little less depressing than the offensive performance that's been turned in the past 2 weeks. Yes, I'm Tyler Marona. Yes, I'm the host of Ty Thoughts, this episode that runs on the Q's Militia page. Just real quick before we go into, is the triple option the way to go for the rest of the season? Just remember that if you really like me and you want to shove it in Sean and Joe's face that this is a better show than their show, go ahead and leave a review on the Apple podcast app and just let them know, hey, we like Tyler's show better than you. That'll go a long way and helping me out. So do I really think that the triple option is viable? No. But do I think that there's some alarming concerns with what's going on? Yes. I'm sitting here Monday night. I'm watching the Raiders and the Saints play. And something similar that's going on that I'm seeing right now out of Derek Carr is kind of the same thing, at least in this first half, that with the Raiders out of Derek Carr that I've seen with Tommy, is like the lack of trust in everybody else around him is so apparent that it's a lack of trust seemingly from the coaching staff in the players, a lack of trust from Tommy to his line, a lack of trust from the receivers to Tommy. It's as if you're watching a dysfunctional family like fight in front of you. And that's what's so uncomfortable about the whole situation. It's not the fact that we're not turning in winning efforts. I don't think that many people thought that we were going to win the UNC game, or really at the end of the day, did we think that Pitt was going to, you know, be some sort of slam dunk win? No, we don't. But what we're upset about now is that we see that it is so possible for Syracuse to be good because of all the talent on defense and the effort that they're turning in. Coach Babers has said ad nauseum how much he thinks that the defense is just absolutely killing it. And to their credit, they are. I mean, there's some real deal studs. I think that there are superstars in the making on defense. I really do. And I think that what's been great, and for me to see two whole games going up against upper crust level ACC teams now, is that I see that I think the D-line, although they're not getting pressure, is going to be totally fine. And I think what's exciting about that is that I think we actually have some bona fide studs coming in this recruiting class. And we've recruited well on the defensive line and are continuing to do a better job moving forward. So my point is that if we're getting basically nothing out of the D-line because they're only getting a three-man rush and sometimes they're bringing Thompson, number 27, on the outside, who for a true freshman is absolutely electrifying. He's able to run right past an offensive tackle when they're both at a standstill. That's against an ACC-level team and a team in Pitt that's been ultra competitive the past couple years. So, I mean, no doubt about it, the defense has some emerging stars. And also, there's a star or two on the defense right now. And I wanted to give a quick shout out to Andre Sisco and Trill Williams because they're doing a fantastic job in that secondary leading the charge. And I also wanted to do a couple quick points here on what I would do if I'm Coach Babers. So, I think that number one, if I'm Coach Babers, I'm going to go into the coordinator's offices, and this is what a head coach is supposed to do. They're supposed to go into the coordinator's office and tell them what they thought. A head coach coaches the coaches. So that's you know, you're the CEO of this organization. So Coach Babers got to go into the defensive coordinator's office first yesterday on Sunday and say, Tony, you're getting the handshake for the week. Like, you deserve all the accolades that you're getting and even then some, because he is putting on an absolute clinic, and he is showing, Tony White is showing, that installation of new programming as far as offense, defense, special teams, and a new system all the way in general. So think about, if you're in a cross sport comparison, if you're playing outfield, it's very unreasonable to think that all of a sudden you can come in and be a catcher the next year. But switching from the 4-2 nickel to the 3-3-5 is almost as extreme as a change as going from being an outfielder to a catcher for all that's involved on the defense. And yet Tony White is getting my handshake of the week as the coach or the head coach of this team, because he is proving that the impossible that we quote-unquote thought is not impossible. It's actually very possible. The fact of the matter is that we just have better ballers on defense than we do on offense. There's no arguing that. I remember last year going to the BC game when we got absolutely annihilated on both sides of the football and thought, this is problematic, number one. There's no arguing that. But what I saw, because when I went to go sit with Sean up on the top deck and like the first row, or, you know, I got the view from the coordinator's level, and I saw the whole field, and I just saw no talent on offense. And the only score that day, I believe, came from Tristan Jackson, who's now in the NFL and had the opportunity to come back and play, but he didn't, mainly probably because he saw the writing on the wall that this is going to be tough. Obviously, he didn't know that there was going to be a pandemic, but he did know that it was going to be tough next year if he was the only star on the offense yet again. So if I'm Coach Babers, I'm going into Coach Gilbert's office, the offensive coordinator's office, and I'm saying, hey, man, we've coached before. It didn't look like this. And let's just go down the roster here, and we're going to see all the opportunities that you have here, and then you're going to tell me what you think. So, I mean, I'm going player by player. Can you use this guy? And I'm getting creative. I'm starting to think Bill Belichick style here. Like, we got to come up with something that's out of the ordinary. We got to do something that's going to actually move the needle here. Is that playing true freshman? Potentially. Is that scrapping ideas for the future? Because the most important football game you get is the one that you're playing right now. We don't know what's coming in the future. Now, if you're already calling for coach's head, I hope you're ready to throw in a $50,000 donation to the Syracuse Athletic Department and the Boost Club to get Coach Babers out of his newly signed extension that you, the fan, wanted to give him so badly after 10-3. So I just want to put that in perspective real quick. Unless you're ready to put up $50K, $100K, $500K to get Coach and all of his newly signed coaches out of their contracts, then I don't want to hear it out of you. Because you're not, like, number one, you're not a mover and shaker in college football, and those are the people that get it done. And number two, it's just too early. So that's that. Coach Babers' success with Syracuse has came when his quarterback has, number one, been Eric Dungy. But if it hasn't been, it's because he had a deep threat down the middle of the field or on the edges of the field, down the sidelines. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a high-level wide receiver that can run past ACC-level defensemen. We think the Steve Ishmaels of the world. We think the Amba Edetawos of the world. We think the Jamal Custises of the world. So then we go look back, and Sean and Joe talked about this. It's like we're frustrated with the offense and Tommy DeVito, number one, because we've seen him do it before. But Tommy DeVito in the 10-3 season had his deep threat and Jamal Custis. If you go back and watch the North Carolina game, you'll see that all of his completions on these, you know, high level throws where we're going, well, Tommy's a surefire, like, we got to start thinking about this guy for the Heisman. When we were having that conversation, Jamal Custis was actually making the plays, if you go watch him. He's catching balls on his helmet and going up over guys because he was 6'5", 6'6". I've seen the guy. I was there in the same room with him when he was on his official visit. Guy's massive. Unbelievable athlete. Coach Edinger, Michael Lasker, is telling me, he's like, he would challenge guys like Jamal Custis. He's like, hey, you're a walking paycheck. You got to work harder. And there's no walking paychecks on this offense this year. Let's just be real. Nobody's playing at the next level right now with this team. So if you have zero NFL players on offense in a conference that's NFL talent laden on defense, you see where I'm going here? Okay, if you get it early, we can go home. All right? So that's kind of where I'm coming from, is that coach needs to go in there and he's like, okay, I know I started the show off with a triple option. I don't think we have to go back to being an option team because I think that would actually regress us even more at the moment, even if we were a shotgun option team. We don't have Eric Dungy. Tommy DeVito is fast, but he's not quick. And number two, we don't have the running backs to be able to withstand that type of blow. And if you think that the offensive line's doing bad now, just wait until we get into a spread zone blocking scheme. It's not going to be great. So I'm impressed with Trill and the rush on defense, like I said, and I had that in my notes, and I'm going in to shake Tony White's hand, but I have to go into the offensive coordinator's office and do an offense. I mean, I'm like on the phone or I'm in the offensive coaches meeting rooms all day long if I'm Coach Babers. Like, whatever I have to do is now put on hold to get this offense better. Because whatever's going on defense and special teams is kind of working out. So what we need to do is find a way to get that going in a different direction. And like I said, you know, it's like we can sit and think here about, oh, you know, this kid's development, that kid's development. Coach, at some point, in order to develop the kids, he's got to get them to believe that they can win. And to me, what's so disappointing in this team is that they play like they can't win and that they know or they believe that they can't win. And that is the attitude that we have to shake up. Coach Babers didn't use his timeouts because the team, even if he used the timeouts, didn't believe that they could win anyway. So he's not going to reward poor attitude and poor behavior. the way that Coach Babers thinks and speaks and talks, it's like I understand it very clearly. If he's sending a message by holding on to his timeouts, which he was doing to his team, to me as a former player, that signals Coach doesn't think that we can win either. He knows that we know that we don't think that we can win and we don't believe it. I've been on the train of thinking that the team can't, like, they'll start believing they can win if they play like this and somehow freak their way into a win. Like, if we won 10-9 or like 13-12 against Pitt and we realize, oh my God, we're like the worst offensive line in the country. We have no skill on the outside. Nobody blocks, but our defense is that good. The offense will just get motivated out of, you know, just sheerly because they understand that if we're off, like, if we truly are the worst and that was the worst, then can we please just go up from there? It happened last year. That's why we won those games at the end of the season, is because we were like, hey, look, the worst has already happened. But in order to be successful and to be a good, successful program, you got to eliminate the fact that you have to understand that you can win a game every year. Like, it can't be until, you know, the end of the year when we're starting to see the improvement. Improvement's got to come week by week, and that's what I'm disappointed in, is that there is no improvement week to week. And we played a lesser team this week, and we turned in a worse performance, I think, on offense. So some are going to argue that Pitt has a better defense, but I think the shock value of playing UNC week one in the middle of a pandemic, I thought was going to be a recipe for a way bigger disaster against North Carolina, and I thought that we played better against them, even though the score was a little bit worse. If you're a fan, you know what I'm talking about. So, no, I don't think the triple option's going in. I know I started it off, you know, super hot, like I said, but those are my thoughts for the week on the Syracuse Orange. I can't really say much else. This team, so like when I went on the airwaves when the team went 10-3, and I said, you know, this team continues to take my breath away, because it was like the most fun I've ever had being a college football fan. Growing up a UCLA fan and watching the Pac-12 and seeing all these, you know, just kind of nothing games, really. I mean, there's a lot of uninspired football on the West Coast, which I now affectionately refer to as some of the best football that's played in the country, because really it's not that much. But when Syracuse was winning those games, and then you get so invested because you know, oh, it's been 20 years of not being what we should be, and remembering that Greg Paulus, a point guard, became our quarterback, and then all of a sudden, you know, now all of a sudden we got Coach Marone, and he's recruiting guys and he's developing guys. Ryan Nassib, oh my God, he's good. He's a good quarterback. We have a good line. We have Justin Pugh drafted 10th overall. We have Chandler Jones, who's like maybe the second best overall player in the NFL. We have Arthur Jones. We have this rich history of guys coming through, and then you think, oh my gosh, what's going on? Like, we should be so much better than this. Yes, we should be. And to all the haters and all the people that are, you know, pointing out the offensive line the past 2 years, I will tell you that the offensive line has been a supreme problem since that 2012 season, after we won the Pinstripe Bowl and Justin Pugh got drafted and Zach Chabane left and Tiller left, and all the continuity that was there. We had too many guys leave at one time. And from that point forward, after Sean Hickey left in particular, and Mike Lasker couldn't stay healthy, Nick Robinson couldn't stay healthy, Rob Trudeau, a great player, but just couldn't do it all by himself. All these guys, after a while, they couldn't, you know, there was just never a season with continuity, and we're still in that same rut. Like, it's 8 years later. It's going to be 10 full years before we get an offensive line back. And if that never happens again, Syracuse will be a good program moving forward. I promise, because that is what we're seeing is missing. And if it's a 10-year drought, you hope that it's kind of like one of those things with the Lakers. We haven't won a title in the last 10 years, and we hope that, you know, the playoff drought never really happens again. Because, okay, we'll give you one stretch, because we had that 10-3 year on the back of Eric Dungy. But it can't be another 20 years before we win 10 games. And what I'm going at is, I do want to keep Coach Babers, so don't get me wrong. I liked his message to the team that he said, hey, look, I understand what you guys are trying to tell me. So let's be real. Let's get real about this. I'm going to hear you. Let's get out of this game. you guys obviously don't want to win, so let's get out of here. I understand. Then he had the kumbaya, like he talks about. And so I want him to stay, but I'm not giving him 20 years if he can't win 10 games again. So that's kind of my final thought on that. All right, so I just wanted to get into Ty thoughts for the week. And this week it's all about something that really has kind of affected the way that I have lived life for a long time now, is that I heard somebody say one time to me that you don't see things that you're not looking for, meaning that our vision is so tightly locked on something that we oftentimes will miss the greater point, or we'll be looking at. So for example, right now I'm just knocked something over on the shelf, but I was looking at this bottle of sunscreen, and I say, if I'm looking here and looking at the sunscreen, I might miss that my phone's going off over in the corner, because you can't have your attention divided. And where that came to life for me this week was I was looking at some of the scores from the AP Top 25 and ultimately just the FBS in general and college football, and I was thinking, let's just take a look and see where like the rest of the world is in relation to Syracuse, right? Like let's take a look and see what the other scores look like. Cause maybe I'm missing the forest through the trees here, or maybe I'm looking at Syracuse so intently, I'm missing something from the greater landscape of college football. And I think I was. Okay. So let's take a look here. So first off, remember how I said in the first week some teams acted like they were playing like they were never going to play again? So North Carolina got their game canceled against Charlotte. BYU versus Army, top 25 matchup, postponed. Houston, Baylor, postponed. Florida Atlantic, Georgia Southern, postponed. Central Arkansas versus Arkansas State, postponed. Okay, so those games may never come back, just so we're all aware. So the fact that, yes, Syracuse did lose this weekend, we got to see that, okay, they played at least, because playing against Pitt, that's a pretty big deal. And I know it hurts. Trust me, I'm hurting more than all of you guys are. Or maybe as much. And maybe not as much as some, but I feel it. So let's take a look here. What am I not seeing this week? Or what did I not see on Saturday? I didn't see that Marshall University, 2-0 Marshall University, took down Appalachian State, number 23, 17-7. That's a top 25 team getting nearly blanked by Marshall University. I'm seeing Liberty over here, which I'm all kind of getting a little concerned about, going 30-24 over Western Kentucky, which is an 0-2 team now. Liberty being, now that was their first game, first win of the season. So that's a game on our schedule. I saw Navy have this, you know, miraculous comeback to erase a 24-point deficit to overcome the Tulane Green Wave. But other than that, I mean, I'm seeing some iffy finishes all around college football. Wake Forest and NC State, they're putting up 45 and 42, but nobody wanted to score. So I think what I'm seeing here is that Clemson and Notre Dame, obviously they're for real, they're legit programs. But Oklahoma State, number 11 team in the country, they had to score 14 points in the fourth quarter to beat Tulsa. The final score was 16-7. Oklahoma State's one of the highest octane offenses in the country, and now what I'm seeing is that I was missing that everybody in the country might be struggling on offense. It's not just the Orange. It might be everybody struggling on offense right now. And I think that the defenses are at just such a supreme advantage that I'm just not seeing what I'm not looking for here. I want to be mad about Syracuse. I want to be mad that I'm not a head coach of a high school team already, because I think that if I would have played it right, I could have been closer to where I wanted to go. I think that if I would have just not gone in that play, or I would have done something different, if my form would have been better that one play, then maybe I'd be playing in the NFL. But that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking to get myself beaten up over something mentally. You know, I want to do the mental gymnastics to make me less happy, to be honest. Like, that's where I'm at on a lot of this stuff. And I'm weirdly having to face some of that with the Syracuse team, just feeling like the helplessness. Because it's weird that this weekend, I actually, all the other teams that I wanted to win, besides the Chargers, but I feel like they had a kind of a moral victory because the Chargers were really expected to do nothing. And they're expected to get, I think, lose by 9.5 against Kansas City. And they come out and really, the Chiefs try to give them that game. And in reality, under a normal circumstance, they would have won if Herbert was not, you know, playing his first day on the job here. So to me, that's kind of like almost like a half win. So the Cowboys, holy cow. I mean, I was doing the Happy Gilmore ride the bull. I was so happy that the Cowboys won. I mean, that's why we're so dumb to keep coming back as football fans. This is like this one time, maybe it'll work out, and it does. And then for the rest of my life, my fiance, wife, in under 2 weeks, by the way, under 2 weeks, we'll be husband and wife. Big shout out to Katie for making that a possibility. Who's going to be my wife? Her name's Katie. You know, we're so dumb as football fans because we're like, oh, we're not going to get hurt this time. We ended up getting hurt. Sunday night football in front of God and everybody, we go lay an egg against the Rams, who the Rams also might be legit. And this is also going to slip into some Ty thoughts and pro talk. They're going to kind of overlap this week, just so you know. So we're in both segments right now. But to lay that egg against the Rams and come back and win on that onside kick, which to me is the best onside kick in history of me being a fan of football. Like, I have not seen a better onside kick executed than that one yesterday on Sunday in Dallas, Texas. So, I mean, it's just funny. Like, I was thinking about how, like, oh, you know, when the Cowboys are down by 20 and it's like, it's 29-9. And I'm like, okay, look, you know, we turned the ball over three times. I was looking for a way to get out of there and just escape. And all right, now it's on to the Charger game. And of course, now I'm riled all the way back up and I'm all the way back in on the Cowboys. So good luck to me on that one. I'm really hedging, though. I'm really hedging. I'm really trying to become a Charger fan. I think I am. I think I'm really trying to become, because number one, I don't get the Cowboys anymore on TV, which was like me, like the one perk of living in Texas was that the Cowboys are on every weekend no matter what. Like, you can find them. They play them on like Channel Zero. I know it doesn't exist, but it is in Texas. It's called DC TV. And or they would even like play the games on the app if you were in a big market. The Dallas Cowboys have an app and they'll like stream the game if you're in Houston or Beaumont or a larger San Antonio, you know, a city that's a large market that like the Texans would be taking up. They'll be like, no, come on, like let's get real here. Let's play the real team in Texas. So, I mean, I'm all the way back in. And then partner that with the fact that I was like, okay, you know what? I'm now fully prepared to take an L tonight against the Denver Nuggets. And the Lakers just messed around for 47 minutes and 30 seconds. And then Anthony Davis comes in and he's like, hey, look, you know, this is game time. This is what I get out of bed in the morning to do. And what was awesome about that is what I saw from Anthony Davis after that was that he went and he started pounding his chest and said, I'm that dude. That was a huge moment for him and the Lakers. And what I saw was is that he is saying like, no, look, LeBron, it's my turn. So I'm better than you. I'm better than everybody on the court. It's my time to go out there and do it. So to me, the Lakers are like the bona fide locks to win the NBA title. So that was that. I think that the Celtics are dead man walking. I know that they won game three, but here moving forward, this is a Miami Heat series. It's a Lakers Heat destination in the finals, which is awesome. You get both sides. I think that this is probably one of the first times in history that they've ever faced each other. Again, I'm cloudy on every NBA finals of all time. I know that's my sport that I really like following the most, but hey, listen, give me a break. I'm only 26 years old. I know a lot of NBA finals, but I don't know if the Lakers and Heat have ever faced off in the finals. I know that the Heat were an expansion team that, by the way, Rob Pelinka, GM for the Lakers, and Pat Riley, president of the Heat. Pat Riley, former Laker player, former Laker coach, former Laker executive, has the slick back hair. And he's not only like the president, the general manager, former head coach, just throws all of his rings on the table whenever a free agent is coming in to visit the Miami Heat. he is the Miami Heat. Like, the Heat were a joke before he got there. So Pat Riley is the Heat. And then all of a sudden I start seeing pictures of Rob Pelinka, the GM for the Lakers. Same look as Pat Riley. Slick back hair, thinning out, wearing the tight-fitting clothes. And all of a sudden I'm going, everybody better watch out. I think it's the Heat and Lakers. Like, they... this is the ultimate like situation. It's the young buck versus the old cow. You know, it's like who's going to give here? And obviously the young buck, Anthony Davis, coming in sounds pretty good to me. But it's hard to doubt this Heat team, man. They're just on fire in this bubble. And the fact that there's no outside like distraction. I mean, there is the bubble, but what I'm saying is like there's no fans to take you away and like take you out of the game. Like, this plays perfectly into the Heat's hands, because they're a three-point shooting team. They've had the same backdrop forever. That's what so many people complain about coming in to play in domes versus Syracuse. And then when Syracuse goes into the tournament where they play in like all these domes and high-pitched arenas with the backdrop, they always shoot better than the other teams. Why? Because they're used to it. It's kind of weird. It's the same thing with the Heat. Like, they're built to win in this format. Kind of the same thing with like the Oakland A's. Like, they've gone their whole franchise's history since Billy Beane's been there to like have this one weird year take place, and when all the outside factors are taken away, then this is like the A's year, because they're like, we planned on this happening, and somehow the Heat planned on this happening with their team. So I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited about the Lakers moving forward. But here's the thing I'm seeing, is that despite everything, I'm seeing a lot of positivity going on with like the NFL is a disaster, but it's turning in entertaining football. Like, guys are getting hurt left and right, and I don't know how they're pulling this off. Like, I don't know how they're keeping the tests that, you know, are the negatives, the negative testing so prevalent. Like, I don't know how this is going on. I don't know how the NBA, I mean, I know the NBA is bubbling up and baseball plans to do the same thing, but like, what we're missing in this whole thing is that like, they're being successful at it. So if that's something I can take away from this whole deal, and especially with college, like if the majority of this can happen and all of a sudden we can bring everybody back into the mix, like things can start feeling quote unquote normal really soon here. And that's the one thing I haven't seen for a long time. And even in my life, I'm starting to be like, hey, the kids might come back to campus here soon in California. And it's like, well, if that happens, then like real life is just back on the table. So I want to encourage everybody this week to try to find something out of the ordinary that you look at often, or maybe it's even a perspective. Like, what perspective can you change this week? Because it's so important to be growing, to be learning, to be always adapting. Because to me, life is just better when we're learning. And I think that's the teacher and the coach in me that's just like trying to get everybody's like, I'm not saying read a book. Don't do that. I wouldn't even recommend that. Like, don't do a PowerPoint presentation and present it to your family. Like, I don't need that. Like, I don't need you to sit down and all of a sudden start talking to your dog with like a 30-point PowerPoint presentation on slides on why Miller is better than Bud Light after all. I don't need that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying go learn something and go humble yourself, because the next thing you know is that all of a sudden life will start getting a lot better, like it does for me. I don't want to sound preachy, but that's the tie thought for the week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.